Chapter 8, The Promise Fulfilled. Jonathan and William were making their way back to the massive hall. They both felt that their stories were not complete, and that many other hidden things happened on that great day. They looked forward to what the Lord himself would reveal. They knew that the Lord's message would add closure to their stories. Everyone in the kingdom was on the move. Great excitement and anticipation could be seen on the faces of the people who surrounded them. They were about to know things that were hidden from man before the foundation of the world, and their excitement continued to build. They made their way to their seats, and they watched as millions and millions of people took their places in the great assembly. Jonathan leaned over to William and said, "You know, I recognize a few thousand faces, but there are still millions upon millions of people I still don't know."
"I know exactly what you mean, but we have all of eternity to meet them."
"I hope that is long enough," William laughed. Finally, everyone was seated, and they were all waiting upon the Lord. Suddenly, there came a great and powerful wind that tore through the great hall toward the throne. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there came a great and awesome earthquake that shook the foundations of the massive hall. Everyone expected to see the Lord, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there came a great and all-consuming fire that flew forward toward the throne. But the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, there came a gentle whisper that proceeded toward the throne. And then the Lord of hosts appeared before the great assembly. Jonathan felt a great peace and calmness come over him. It was a peace that surpassed all his understanding. He knew that peace came when the Spirit of God brushed past him in that gentle wind or whisper. The whole assembly felt the same way, for the wind or whisper came from every direction as it approached the throne, and peace fell upon all who were there. Then the Lord began to speak. "You have heard many amazing stories as you shared with each other where you were and what you saw upon that great day. I myself have a few things to share that many of you may not have considered. I have made many great and precious promises to restore everything that I have promised long ago through my holy prophets and the Word. Think of that great enemy, that destroyer of life, the one called death. From the very beginning, it struck fear in the hearts of all mankind. Death separated husband from wife, children from parents, and friends from friends. Death robbed, destroyed, and laid siege to many hearts. I have heard all the cries of the brokenhearted and the weeping that continued throughout the night. The grave was never satisfied. It never said, 'Enough.' So death continued right up to the great day of my coming. But now death has been vanquished, and it cannot be found. I promised that death would be swallowed up in victory, and my promise has been fulfilled. Think also of my creation and the frustration that it has subjected to. Consider the simple things like the grass and flowers of the field, and how the wind blew upon them and they were gone, and how its place remembered them no more. Consider the animals that suffered because of man's wickedness when I flooded the earth centuries ago. Every living thing that moved on the earth perished. Birds, livestock, wild animals, all the creatures that dwelled upon the earth, and all of mankind. Everything on dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils died. Some would accuse me of not caring for all of my creation. But I say to you, did I not care for the ravens? They didn't sow or reap. They had no storerooms or barns, yet I fed them all. Do I not care for all of my creation? for every animal of the forest is mine, as well as the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the creatures of the field are mine. I had in my heart to make right that which was wrong. Creation groaned, and I desired to lift that terrible yoke that was upon it. That is another reason why I delayed my coming no longer. Consider the land. It was also affected by the fall. For I said to Adam, "Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." My creation itself groaned over sin and was in bondage to decay and death. The whole creation has been groaning since the beginning of the fall. For sin did not only affect mankind, but its roots went deep into my creation. The whole of creation has been suffering right up to the time that I redeemed all things by my return. You have heard many great and precious promises made to you, and it was in my heart to fulfill them. You have heard it said, "In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." That promise was seared into your hearts, and you dreamed of my coming back to you. With great joy, you waited expectantly for my return. I also wanted to be glorified in you, my holy people, and to be marveled at among you that believe. That day was a great day, for your hearts were lifted up in praise. Your spirit soared the day I came back for all that dwell upon the earth. By you, my name has been glorified among the nations on that great day. That day caught many by surprise. Many of you wondered if I would really ever return, because it seemed such a long time from my earthly ministry to that great day of my second coming. As you now know, I am not slow in keeping my promises, as some may understand slowness. I was patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but desiring everyone to come to repentance. The day of the Lord came like a thief in the night, and as you remember, the heavens disappeared with a roar, the elements were destroyed by the fire, and the earth and everything in it was laid bare. After that came the great judgment. As you have all witnessed, all mankind appeared before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, and each one received what was due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. At that point, the Lord Jesus appeared at the Father's side and was dressed in the shepherd's clothes and carried a staff and said, "That day of judgment came and went." You are here with me today, dressed in white, and you all received your rewards for the things you have done in the body. For I am the faithful shepherd. I stood at the door and knocked, and you heard my voice and opened the door. Then I came in and ate with you, and you with me. For when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat, and when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink, and when I was a stranger, you invited me in. You have all passed through many hardships in my name, and now you are blessed by my Father, and you have taken your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. You are my beloved, for my Father gave you ears to hear what the Spirit said to the churches. You have overcome, and I have given you the right to eat from the tree of life. Many of you were faithful, some even to the point of death. and I have given you the crown of life. You truly overcame, and you were not hurt at all by the second death. I have given you some of the hidden manna that I have promised. I have also given you a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to you and me. I said to you in those days, he who overcomes will be dressed in white, and I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge your name before my Father and his angels. This I did for all of you on that great day. I also said, to him who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem. You saw with your own eyes the city coming down out of heaven from your heavenly Father. All these promises and blessings have been showered down upon you, for you have overcome. I have also given you the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with the Father on his throne. So you are all with me today and have not left my side, and you will never, ever be cast away, for you are mine, and I am yours, and I am your great reward. All of these blessings are proof that I have always loved you, and that I prepared this place for you. At this point, the great assembly broke out in worship and lifted holy hands to the great king, and they sang an old song of praise from the old world. They sang, Majesty, worship his majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom, authority, flow from his throne unto his own, his anthem raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship his majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. The praise and worship continued song after song, and new sounds came from new heavenly instruments that were built by the music players. The instruments added a variety of beautiful sounds to the worship. As the singing was coming to a close, three men dressed all in white stepped forward, and a hush came over the crowd. Jonathan did not know who they were, but waited in expectation to see what was going to happen. The men carried two huge bronze cymbals in each of their hands. They lifted them up, slammed them together, and the sound went out like a wave, and it swept over the whole assembly. One of the three lifted his hands and said, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The eyes of the Lord were on the righteous, and his ears were attentive to their cry. The righteous cried out, and the Lord heard them. He delivered them from all their troubles. The Lord was always close to the brokenhearted. He saved those who were crushed in spirit. Righteous men may have many troubles, but the Lord has delivered them from all. The Lord redeemed you, his servants. No one was ever condemned who took refuge in him. Jonathan noticed that the men slammed the cymbals together at particular times throughout the discourse, and he could clearly see that the cymbals added meaning to the words when they clashed. Suddenly, a bright light came from the throne and encompassed the Father and the Son, It grew brighter and brighter and expanded out further and further to the outermost expanse of the massive hall. Everyone could feel the awesome warmth, power, and glory of the Holy Spirit as his radiance enveloped all the worshipers. Finally, the Lord Jesus raised his arms high, and he blessed his people and dismissed them by saying these words, "I was the one who was able to keep you from falling and to present you before my glorious presence without fault and with great joy. I am the only God, your Savior. All glory, majesty, power, and authority belongs to me before all of the ages, now and forevermore. Amen." Not a sound could be heard as everyone contemplated these familiar words that were heard anew in the kingdom. As Jonathan was leaving, he ran into his youngest son, Ben. They embraced each other, and Jonathan asked Ben, "Who were the men with the symbols?" Ben responded, "They were Haman, Asaph, and Ethan." Jonathan had a confused look on his face, and Ben could not help playing into it. "Come on, you don't know who Haman, Asaph, and Ethan are?" Ben said, teasing his dad. "You should know them. Maybe if you read your Bible more back then, you would know who they were," he said with a smirk. "Okay, I will tell you. They wrote many of the Psalms in the Scriptures. They were the musicians David used in the worship when the Ark of God was brought back into Jerusalem. They were in charge of the bronze symbols in the worship of God. Ethan and Heman were also very, very wise men in their day, for the Scriptures even mentioned their wisdom. Remember these words about Solomon? Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the men of the East, and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than any other man, including Ethan, the Ezrahite, wiser than Haman, Calcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol, and his fame spread to all the surrounding nations. Notice Ethan and Herman are among the men listed." Jonathan looked at his son and said, "Impressive." Ben laughed and said, "Mom told me." They walked out together, displaying God's faithfulness, for the Scriptures declaring, "This promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." As they left the assembly, they embraced again. As Jonathan was walking away, he waved goodbye and headed to his home. But the Lord had other plans he did not know about.